Welcome to the Oakland County, Michigan Government News and Information Podcast, featuring topics of interest to people who live, work, and play in Oakland County.
Is your child's route to school safe? Would your child know what to do if a stranger approaches them on the way to school? As we enter another school year, it's a good time for parents to ensure that their children have a safe route to school. In today's podcast, I had the opportunity to talk with Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard about school safety. There are a number of kids who walk to and from school each day. What types of things should parents be telling their kids to help them arrive safely at their destination?
Well, a couple things. First thing I would suggest is that if your child's going to have a walk route, go on the internet, go to our website, oaklandsheriff.com, and follow the links to the sex offender registry and query your zip code and find out where registered sex offenders are living in your neighborhood. And that will also help you determine what's the best route for them to walk in the beginning place, so that if there happens to be one or two living on this block, maybe you walk a different block. So that would be a starting point. The second thing is always encourage them to walk at least in pairs. A group's better, but in pairs is best. If you can't walk in a group, definitely walking alone is not the preferred methodology, so try to get walking buddies. It's good to pass the time, and it's good for safety. Typically, they're not as often approached if they're in a group, and they're more safe, and somebody can go get someone or call for help. Secondly, you may want to consider having an old cell phone in their presence. So oftentimes moms and dads change and get the newest and latest and greatest cell phone, and they toss the old one in the desk drawer. Under FCC law, federal communication law, every cell phone, even when the service is turned off, must have the ability to dial 911. So if they have an old cell phone in their backpack and they have an emergency, they can still dial 911 from that cell phone. It costs a parent nothing to have that extra little bit of safety in their backpack. That would be one other suggestion I would have them do. Also, talk to them a little bit about, how they should react if they think somebody's following them down the street on one side, move to the other side, see if they follow that motion. If a car's, kind of slowly idling behind you, pick up the pace, maybe cut over to a different block, and ascertain again if that person is following you. If they are, up the ante a little bit, go seek help, seek an adult. Look for a house, maybe a person that's out in the yard, and ask them, call the police or engage them in a conversation, because that more often than not will drive somebody off that's kind of hovering in the background. And know maybe safe spots along the route. Know your route, and know maybe the Smiths live there, that's in a house, and she happens to be home during the day, or those kinds of things. Moms and dads usually know who's home and when they're home, and if you run into a situation, these are a few houses you might want to think about knocking on. Those are good tips. Also, make sure your kids know their address and their phone number. At almost any age, they should know those two things as a basic starting point, and where to get a hold of you if an emergency comes up. So, all of those things play into it. Also, we would suggest that you not have real visible on their backpack or some other thing their last name, because it allows somebody that may be a predator to do a little background and find out where that last name lives in the neighborhood, and then ultimately find your house and begin the process of kind of building a profile against a child. So have the name maybe inside the backpack or someplace where it's not obvious, or somebody can't walk up and say, "Hey, aren't you the Smith son?" And the child may not realize it's on the back of their backpack or in their clothing and available to this person to see and think, "Well, yeah, I am. Oh, yeah, well, I know your mom or your dad." And now they've engaged them in a conversation. And conversation with an adult closes that distance. That's one of the other points that I want to make, is don't engage conversationally with an adult you don't know and your parents don't know or have told you should chat with, because you as a child have the right to say no and to not engage in questions of directions or "I've lost my dog" or all those often kinds of scams that predators use to get the kid close enough to grab them. So if somebody tries to start talking, you say, "I'm sorry, I can't talk," as you go in the other direction. Don't let them close that distance. Distance is your friend. if you're a child and there's a predator or somebody. And if it's not a predator and it just happens to be somebody who's truly lost, they'll understand. They won't be offended. They'll say, you know, the same question to somebody else or ask an adult. So understand that distance is your friend. And again, no safe routes and no homes. Those are all good tips. The other thing is that sometimes early when daylight savings changes and things, you might start and walk in the darkness. Make sure you have some kind of reflective clothing on or some kind of reflective tape on your backpack. Always, obviously, look and listen. Stop, look, and listen is the old phrase, to make sure no cars or something approaches. Sometimes people wake up, they're a little groggy, they don't turn on their headlights, and they start buzzing down the road. You may not see the headlights because they're not on. So that's why the look and listen comes into play. Do you hear something approaching before you step out into that road? So use some of those safety tips, and hopefully that'll help you get to school in one piece and ready for the day.
What are some things that drivers should be aware of when approaching a school bus?
Well, obviously, school buses have very distinct visual signs that they're stopping and letting kids out, and it's clearly against the law to pass a school bus that's in the act of discharging students. So you've got to wait on both sides of the traffic unless it's a separated highway. You have to stop on both sides of the road until those lights and the stop sign that sometimes swings out from the side is turned off. And look, because sometimes kids jump off that bus and the bus driver may turn the lights and things off and then start forward, and the kid will go around to the back and then dart across the street. You know, they may not cross where they should while the bus is still in place. So use an extra second or two of caution to make sure that the kids have cleared the scene, cleared the bus, and are in a safe position before you start up, whether you're in front of or behind the bus. And give that bus a little bit of space when it's traveling, because, as you know, it's probably going to make a few stops. And hopefully that bus driver will be cognizant of the crowds that may be gathering behind them. And after they turn off all that gear, maybe give the chance for cars to pass before they pull back out onto the roadway.
Now, are there some guidelines for parents who have teenagers who ride or drive to and from school?
Well, you know, teenagers that are driving is a very dangerous time. So as a parent, you need to be, very involved in their driving and teaching them to drive and what's safe. And I would encourage, you know, no radio activity be allowed, no cell phone or texting be allowed. Obviously, those things are very distracting to a driver. And a young driver may have the skills to drive, but hasn't had the experience to learn the skills how to avoid an accident in emergency scenarios. That's why it has to be all attention, all focus, all hands on deck when they're driving, and no distractions. So I also prefer not having a lot of kids in the car. You know, one maybe, but beyond that, when they're new drivers, I think it adds to the risk of an accident. The greatest cause of death among young people between 16 and 18 is auto accidents. So this is a time parents need to tune in, try to get their kids the training, make sure they understand the do's and the don'ts, and enforce those rules. We also have a program that we run out of the sheriff's office. Again, you can find it on our website at oaklandsheriff.com. It's called Stopped. And a parent can voluntarily sign up, and they will be sent a sticker that goes on the windshield of the car. And if that car is stopped, if your child is stopped by a participating police department, and we're trying to enlist all of the police departments in Oakland County, we have a number of them that have signed up. We're trying to get departments all across the state. There are a number all across the state already. If you get stopped by any one of those departments, you'll hear the bell toll, figuratively and literally, as you hear the clock go. But what you'll get, you'll hear the information about what happened that day, because part of the program is that when your child gets stopped, a participating agency will then make a record of it, and you will get a contact from the Michigan Sheriff's Association telling you where your child was stopped and what they were stopped for and what was the outcome. Did they get a ticket? Did they not get a ticket? And I know for a fact that lots of times kids get stopped and never tell mom and dad. Sometimes they even get tickets and don't tell mom and dad. And, you know, for me, giving a child a ticket's not the best resort. You know, it's not the best result of that situation. The best result is when mom and dad care, and obviously it's their child, they care more than anybody, and get involved. So oftentimes I would tell mom and dad about the child being stopped and not write a ticket. And then mom and dad have a chance to either get extra training for that child or you know, put additional restrictions on their driving behavior, because in the end, we all want to keep them safe.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for joining us, Sheriff Bouchard.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here, and have a safe fall.
For more information and safety tips, visit the Oakland County Sheriff's website at oakgov.com/sheriff. If you'd like to make a comment on this podcast or make suggestions for future podcast topics, please send an email to podcast@oakgov.com. This is Pam Zawissa with Oakland County Government Podcast Series.
This has been another Oakland County, Michigan Government News and Information Podcast produced by Oakland County eGovernment.